of Easter are the proclamations, one from Mary, "I have seen the Lord." She tells her doubtful friends, "I have seen the Lord." And we know that these proclamations are part of the faith that has been handed down to us. Jesus lives, and Jesus is Lord. Jesus is no longer a figure of flesh and blood confined to time and space, but a reality who can enter in locked rooms, very cool, journey with followers without being recognized until they do. He can be experienced in both Galilee and Jerusalem. He can vanish at the moment of recognition. He can sit on a beach and cook fish for his friends for breakfast. And he can abide with his followers always to the end of the age. Jesus lives. And as the angel said from the empty tomb, "Look for Jesus among the living, not the dead." He is a figure of the present, not simply of the past. So often, art helps us to envision things more dramatically, to enter into realities that are hard to put into words. For example, the Greek Orthodox Church has been using in its iconography, its art, its religious art, a standard for the resurrection in which it is depicted not as Jesus as an isolated individual event, but the resurrection is that of a group in which Jesus is the liberator and leader of the holy ones who slept in Hades, awaiting his advent. One of the examples of that is in an old church in old Cairo. It's a dramatic fresco where there's a sign letting the visitor know that that's the Holy Family lived in this church for some time during their stay in Egypt. That's an historic church. So in this fresco, and they have a beautiful series of them, in this image of the resurrection, a robed Jesus stands upon the twin shattered gates of hell. It's like he's kicked them in, and there are figures on either side. He bends down to the left as you face the fresco and draws Adam and Eve and all of humanity from their tomb. On his other side are the representatives of the chosen people, bearded David and an unbearded Solomon. All are being freed. And today, this Easter, 2025, it is we who are being lifted up and liberated from the gates that close us in, the chains that bind us, the fear that saps our courage. On Easter, Jesus, kind Jesus, healing Jesus, empire resisting Jesus, pulls us out of the gates of hell and liberates us, saves us. Jesus is that kind of Lord, not using his power tyrannically over us. He's not a Lord of power over, but uses his power to free, to save, and to remind us that Hades, that hell, will not have the last word. Said in another way, by Martin Rowe in a poem called Love Is Never Done. Everything dies, writes the poet. Life dies, death dies, everything is done, except love. Only love is not done. Only love will not die. Everything is finished except love. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. At some point, everything will be done except love. Love is never done. Now we know that the resurrection does not mean that we will not know grief or injustice or cruelty. It means that we will know love and we will have company and understanding in our pain. The author of the essay, Not the Last Supper, wrote about his first day back to work after his father died. So he was in grief. He described going into his regular coffee bagel shop in New York City and ordering his breakfast from Fatima, who worked there for years, but whom he knew only superficially to exchange pleasantries. He says, with my regular order, my bagel was toasted, and I blurted out, my father died. And Fatima went back behind the counter, smeared it with lots of olive cream cheese, and rather than handing it to the cashier and ignoring what I said, she came out again and pulled me aside into an alcove. There, she handed me the bagel, instructed me to open the wrapping, and said, please give me your bagel. I was still so numb on my first day back to my normal life, now without my dad. I did as requested without thinking that this was kind of weird. I gave her a piece of my bagel. When Fatima took the piece of my bagel, she said, when you share the bread of a suffering person, you share in their suffering. It's like you enter into their suffering. This is how they know that they're not alone. Christ Jesus entered into our frailty, to our flesh and blood, into our very selves, so that we may know that we are not alone. And so today, Easter once again completes the pattern at the center of Christian life, death and resurrection, crucifixion and liberation, undergirded by perseverance and a sense of solidarity with the weakest and those who suffer. There's plenty of ways to enter into the suffering of another and bring a little resurrection companionship, which is what we're called to live into as Christians these days. Resurrection companionship. In all the anxiety and in all the normal day-to-day stuff of this world, we are called to be companions. But not just in easy times, but also very scary and dangerous times. That's the heart of the Easter message. So at a press conference this week, Jennifer Vasquez Sura told her husband, who was in a prison in El Salvador, Kilmer Abrego Garcia, God hasn't forgotten about you. She didn't know if he got the message or not. Later, when he was allowed to meet outside of the prison, she also said that the most important thing for me, my children, his mom, his brother, was to see him alive again. And we saw him alive. God has not forgotten about us. Also last week, the hospital run by the Anglican Diocese of Jerusalem did not give up their healing mission even after being bombed on Palm Sunday. This is a hospital that we give money to as friends of the Diocese of Jerusalem. And they said, the workers there, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, they vowed, we will work so that the hospital remains a vital lifeline for Gaza City and the northern region, and we are committed to maintaining our operations to the best of our abilities. Resurrection companionship. Way back in the 1940s, there was an ecumenical group, a very small group that had an outlasting impact called the White Rose Society. And when a member, they denounced the genocide going on in Germany at that time. They published 6 pamphlets, only 15,000 of them were printed and shared, but they were very influential. When one of the members was assigned to the Eastern Front and was sent a list of a book of sermons by his girlfriend, imagine that now, somebody sending you a book of sermons. But he obviously read them, and he paraphrased one of the sermons, which said, we know by whom we are created, and that we stand in a relationship of moral obligation to our Creator. Conscience gives us the capacity to distinguish between good and evil. Christ gives us the capacity to distinguish between good and evil. Christ, the resurrected one, makes a choice. Easter is the reversal of Good Friday, which means God's vindication of Jesus' passion for the kingdom of God, for God's justice, and God's no to the powers who killed him. That's a quote from the book The Last Week, which we've been studying in our adult education class. Written by Borg and Crossan, they explain, Christ lives, the spirit, the presence his followers knew in him before his death. That continues to be known, that presence, that spirit. Easter is God's yes to Jesus. Jesus lives, and Jesus is the Lord. And if Jesus is the Lords of this world are not. And that is very good news indeed. Christ is alive. The hymn we just sang. His spirit burns through this and every future age till all creation lives and learns his joy, his justice, love, and praise. May you give and experience resurrection companionship this Easter season and always. Amen. Alleluia.